everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Off and running, Tom, on looking ahead to a great weekend. 80, lower 80s, I'll take that for sure. It's just perfect.
Yeah, it should be pretty nice. We might see a little bit of cooling early next week, but
yeah,
no,
wow.
It's going to be nice in the next few
Good.
Days.
Looking forward to that. Lower 80 to around 84, possibly. Anyway, it's Thursday, November 21st, 2024. We begin our 15th year with our radio program in January, coming to you from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, part of the Bustos Media Campus here, where we've got five radio stations under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's begin with General Ted Maxwell, who leads the Southern Arizona Leadership Council as president and CEO. He's done that since 2018. His nearly 34 years of military service includes 15 years in active duty Air Force, an additional 19 in the Arizona Air National Guard. He retired as a two-star general. I finally got that right.
You did,
General
Bill. That's
Maxwell.
Good. Look
there
at that.
There you go.
It's only taken a year and a half.
Yeah, only taken a major general, which translates folks into a two-star, and that was his retirement in 2018. His final military position was commander, Arizona Air National Guard. In 2021, Governor Ducey appointed him to represent Pima County on the seven-member Arizona State Transportation Board. He is also a member of the nine-member Regional Transportation Authority Board of Directors, and he represents ADOT, the Arizona Department of Transportation. General, how are you? And I do want to say that your radio show, you host a show here on KVOI on Tuesday morning from 9 to 10, and you're bringing in some good guests. You had Juan Siskamani and soon to be again State Senator Vince Leach on Tuesday.
Well, Bill, I appreciate those words, and having that show on Tuesday mornings from 9 to 10, Jump in Tucson, has been a great experience. I've truly enjoyed it. It's fun to be on the other side of the mic where I just sit back and I let the guests. You bring in high quality guests and they tend to really say a lot. But I want to thank you for the opportunity to host one of your shows in November before the election.
Yeah.
Because what I can tell you is I've had more people that have come up to me and said, hey, by the way, I had the opportunity to listen to the podcast. So
right.
It was the podcast
right.
of that conversation between myself and Nicole Barraza, my director for governance
yeah.
and public policy.
Yeah.
And we just talked in reality about the 13 ballot initiatives that were on the agenda. I gave a couple of the ones that SLC supported a little, you know, I said that out loud, but most of it was just, here's the pros, here's the cons, right. Let's go. And as you know, those 13 ballot propositions didn't really fare very well at the ballot. We had talked a lot before that about too many things on the ballot. People lose interest.
They do.
And if you look at it from the down ballot votes, you know, the Pima County votes below about supervisor became very much partisan.
Yeah.
It's just people get down there, okay, I don't know that much about these people. And it doesn't matter how much we emphasize be an informed voter, they get down there and they start going party line. Well, on propositions, they get down there and they just go no.
Yeah, they just say no to everything. And by the way, thank you for being one of our guest hosts as I took a couple of weeks off in October. And had a great team of backup hosts, and while I enjoyed some real autumn weather up in northern Idaho in lovely Coeur d'Alene, what a beautiful resort that is up there overlooking that lake. You know that area very well, don't you?
I do. My parents, when all the kids finally, well, at least two of the three kids, went off to college from, I grew up in Los Angeles, they packed up and they moved to Coeur d'Alene. And they love it up there, and it's beautiful. And my youngest brother and his family still live up there. I'm actually going there in 2 weekends.
Oh, good. A military question, and then we'll move on to other things with upcoming legislative session, the RTA Next program. Many people very concerned that President Biden did finally give the authority, and many were hoping he wouldn't take this action in his final days to allow some of the longer range American-made missiles to be given over to the Ukrainian military to target inside Russia. What's your take on that? Should we worry about when Putin says this could be the final draw before he would go nuclear?
Well, I think it's important for people to understand when he says go nuclear, he's not talking about what we view from the old movies, War Games, and some of the other one where there's nuclear weapons being launched throughout the world. That's not the threat I think he's making in there. Quite often threats, as well as some of the weaponry we've provided, including those long-range missiles to Ukraine, are viewed as a form of deterrence. And that, I believe, is why we gave them the long-range missiles to begin with, and that's why they weren't authorized for use deep into it was the deterrent of knowing that they had the capability. Mm-hmm. If it got so bad in Ukraine that mm-hmm. they needed to, they could. We can debate on whether the authorization was good or bad. The fact of the matter is they've been used a couple times, and so I think
not real deep into the homeland yet, but
they haven't hit a lot of the major population centers,
right.
And that's something that you will have to watch.
Yeah.
But the saber rattling around the nuclear weapons quite often occurs from the particularly Soviet Union leadership or now Russian leadership. And I think that was just hey, we can do this. Now, what he was probably talking about, though, was tactical use.
Which you have experience in training for that.
Yes, I don't have any experience in any tactical use,
but that's why I said in training.
What people don't, if you take a look at all the charts, there's a couple good bar charts that show how much nuclear weapons are throughout the world, and Russia's got the most. We've got the second most warheads. And then they divide them into categories, and one of them is they talk operational, strategic, and tactical weapons that are around. There are tactical nuclear weapons in the fields. Hard to say any nuclear would be tactical, but it can be used in a local or a local conflict versus the thought that once one flies, they're all flying. And I think that's, do we want saber rattling around the use of nuclear weapons? Absolutely not, because there are now, unlike their first use, there are now enough nuclear weapons to truly destroy our current civilization as we know it. But I don't believe that's the intent of what President Putin was trying to say.
That's the genie out of the bottle. If we go the tactical route, of course, some could argue the genie was out of a bottle in 1945. But the tactical genie out of the bottle would be him going that option. We don't want that.
Yeah, it's when you'd be using it in a limited fashion.
Yes.
I mean, in Europe, obviously, before the fall of the wall, that was always a concern. That was always a consideration. But I think he was trying to make a point that you'd be cautious of how much you unleash these weapons that you got from a third party. But they've got North Korean troops now in Russia too that are preparing is what we're hearing to come across the border. I have no insight knowledge of that. They cut you out of all the good information when you retire. Is it a way to say it's not just a local Russia versus Ukraine thing when weaponry and other things get involved from other countries? However, remember, we're part of NATO.
It's already global in a certain extent.
Absolutely.
So there we go.
And much like the Gulf War.
Sure.
When those started, when Iraq invaded Kuwait and then was on the border of Saudi Arabia. I mean, it took over Kuwait and then on the it's, do you tolerate in a civilized society countries taking other countries and taking them back? You got to remember, the breakup of the Soviet Union was not by invasion. It was by a breakup of the Soviet Union. It was internal.
All right. Let's see if we can touch on Arizona legislative actions that could be coming up with the new session before we take the break with Mona's Danish Bakery. Overall, what's your take on the makeup of the 2025 legislative session?
It was a very interesting turnout. As I think most people know by now, the Republican Party actually gained seats in the legislature. They now have 33 of the seats in the House out of 60, so they've got a member advantage there. And in the Senate, it's 17 and 13, which is a four member advantage. Some people think that means it gives the party that much more ability to get things done on their own. Not necessarily true. One of the nice things of having that bigger gap is it's not reliant on a single person to keep bad policy from going through. Ken Bennett is a perfect example in the Senate last year. He was the one vote that stopped several bills that I think the majority of people would agree were not going to be good for Arizona.
Yeah.
But
he was a common sense lawmaker,
but,
I think.
But he suffered from it. But
yes,
if you've got the ability, to get one, it's always hard to get the second vote against the, you know, going against a bill that's got a lot of momentum. But once you get the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, quite often the chips will fall in place. And it provides an opportunity for more bipartisanship, which I think you're going to see some of that because the legislature doesn't want to go through two more years of not getting anything done.
Mm-hmm.
They have to, as legislators, you look at a whole bunch of new legislators, Bill, because a lot of the ones that were there either lost or decided it's time to get out because they knew the last couple years' track record, taking from a surplus budget to we're under budget. You know, we don't have enough revenues to cover it, although I think that's shrinking. That's not a good case for making to the citizenry when you want to get reelected. So they're going to want to get some stuff done. And so there will be, I think, with those margins, you now have a way of showing some partisanship while allowing those who won't come along and don't want to come along in a large part because that's what their citizens want. They can still take that position.
Mm-hmm.
You aren't relying on a 31-29 vote or a 16-14 vote. You can get some more bipartisanship.
And we are about a minute over before we take the break, but the tactics that the conservatives and the Republicans used in the legislature was to move bills forward that they knew that Governor Hobbs was going to veto. And when she did veto, that some of these actions wound up before the voters. That trend going to continue?
It won't happen this year. I think you may see a couple of those that will be ones that people ran on that they want to get through. What I think you're more likely to see is that will be a 2026 issue when we know, you know, who's going to be the two candidates for governor or when are those taking shapes. And now everybody's getting ready. It's going to be an election year. That's the challenge of a 2-year, you know, everybody at the state legislature gets elected every 2 years.
Yes.
So they're always campaigning. And in 26, I think you're going to see more of that. I'm not sure you'll see as many things get forwarded to the ballot because so many of them then got failed.
Yes.
A couple of them passed, but those were ones that you knew were going to be really popular where
The border measure.
Yes,
and the abortion.
And the abortion measure.
Okay. All right. More with General Ted Maxwell. But right now, General Maxwell, since you have been on this side of the microphone over in my chair, you know what we're going to talk about now, aren't we?
Yes, I do.
Which is?
You're going to throw me on the Mona's is the first. We'll talk about Silver City later.
Mona's Danish Bakery, and they're getting ready for Thanksgiving, General, and they're taking orders for pies. What type of pie do you like on your Thanksgiving table for your dessert?
Oh, there's no doubt. I'm an apple pie guy.
Okay, well, that's an easy one. Yeah. Steve and the team up at Mona's can easily do the apple. Mona's is, of course, the home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are open each day except Monday. They open at 6:30. Put in your order. Go to their website, monasdanishbakery.com. Put in your order for dessert and for some of those dinner rolls, too. They do a great job. I know I'll be ordering a few from Mona's. Let's take a break right here. More with General Ted Maxwell after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Take the Regional Transportation Authority's brief survey of its draft $2.46 billion Regional Transportation Plan. The 20-year RTA Next Draft Plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. The RTA Board will consider your feedback before it prepares a final draft for voter consideration as early as November 2025. We invite you to take our brief survey at rtanext.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are rocking and rolling, covering, as usual, a ton of content in our limited time here from noon to one each weekday on the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios when we do our telephone interviews, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We are not on the live line. We are live in studio with General Ted Maxwell, who leads the Southern Arizona Leadership Council as president and CEO since 2018. I always love having General Maxwell on because I can throw out so many subjects, national defense. I can talk about the legislature. I can talk about transportation because he's the Pima County representative on the very important 7-member Arizona State Transportation Board. And because he is on that board, he thus becomes a member of the 9-member local regional transportation authority board of directors, which is currently very busy with their RTA Next program because the current 20-year RTA transportation program will sunset next year. So, General Maxwell, we are now in a listening session. The public is getting their say on RTA Next. What kind of feedback are you hearing?
Well, I hear the numbers are doing real well. We've already held probably close.
Good turnout at some of these events?
Some are better than others, but I know what RTA will do and what the executive director will make occurs. If there's areas that want to have a meeting, we will get there. Just held one in Ajo just a little while, last week, I believe. RTA has hired the Gordley Group to help out to make sure that all the underrepresented areas get the opportunity. You don't have to go to a meeting to fill the survey out. That's one of the things people are not that are missing. The plan that has gone forward with them is for the pessimistic view. You'll see all the projects and all the categoricals and the elements and that we put in for the $2.45 billion that the pessimistic expectation will bring in.
When you say pessimistic, that would be the kind of worst case scenario of money coming in.
In the economist's terms, 20% of the time, it's going to be at the pessimistic or below, which means 80% of the time, the revenues will be higher.
So the projections are on the very low end.
Correct. But if you project a baseline, which is a 50-50, 50% of the time above 50%, you can find yourself short. And that's one of the things that contributed to the shortfall we've had on RTA1, because they used the baseline in 2006. And with the downturn in 2008, we've just never recovered totally on those funds. There's lots of other things that play into it too.
Should they have used the low end?
No, it's most people will use the baseline as as an opportunity. It just means you have to make decisions later in the game. But I think this board's decision to stick with the pessimistic, and what we've done is, and you won't see that at these discussion points, but we've also determined what we're going to do with the funds if it gets up to the baseline, and that will all be public and knowledge, and it's already out there. If you've been if you're a transportation guru and you've been following the RTA meetings. But the important thing right now, Bill, really is we need the input of the citizens.
And again, how do citizens do that without going to a meeting?
So without going to the meeting, you can go onto the RTA Next website.
Okay.
And when you get on the RTA Next website, it will give you the opportunity to go to a link to pick up the review the draft plan and then provide your inputs.
And you've given me so much information here that's summarized very nicely, and that will be summarized on that site as well, right?
All the information that I've given you, which
the
is
map.
A map that shows where the projects, and those are the ones that are detailed projects are, as well as a three-page summary of the different categoricals. And the roadway elements, the big one, there's over 30 projects in that, plus the four that we've deferred from RTA 1. And that's $1.4 billion out of the $2.4 billion.
Yes, 30 projects here.
But then you also get the breakdown of where the safety, ADA, and active transportation element will be spent, the arterial reconstruction element, the environmental element, and important to a lot of people is the transit element, which has over $610 million out of the $2.45 billion in it. And that ensures that not only does the transit system remain at its current level, but it has the opportunity to expand.
And looking at the map, how would you summarize that? And it's very difficult, of course, on the radio to describe the map, but yeah.
So what you see on the map is you're going to see a lot of things that hit the regions that are represented in RTA. Mm-hmm. Probably the concern that I've heard the most has been coming from the east side. And remember, Vail tried to get incorporated this year. They voted it down. Tancaverde, you know, Corona del Tucson down there. All these communities or consensus developed populations, big areas, are all unincorporated Pima County. So they have the representation of Supervisor Scott, and he's done a good job trying to advocate on their behalf. But there's not a lot going out there. That's one of the concerns that I've heard from this plan. And it's an opportunity for everyone to give their input of where they think we need either to improve our roads, expand our roads, improve our transit, expand our transit, and other issues that come in play. Because our transportation system is that. It's a network. It's an ecosystem in and of itself. It's cars on the roads and making the ability to get around town improved. But it's also providing enough funding to help the transit programs where we're in those urban and those tight areas where it makes great sense to have investment. So it's a system. They all play off each other. More people ride on transit. Guess what? There's more opportunities and more road available for people like myself who will always drive a car because I actually enjoy that.
Yeah. You like to be behind the wheel of an automobile.
I just purchased a used Mustang convertible.
Ooh,
now
you're talking.
My first car was a Mustang. My second car was a Mustang convertible. I will always drive, and this one's manual, so it's even more fun to drive.
Oh my goodness, you're talking to a guy who had a 1965 Mustang convertible.
There you go.
Oh my goodness.
But Bill,
it was automatic, but. Yeah, you like the stick.
I do now.
Anyway.
It makes sure that my phone sits in the seat next to me, too, and I'm not trying to do something I shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, so go ahead.
So the big thing is get out there. Learn about the plan. You can find it all on rtanext.com. You can see the plan. You can participate. You can submit
surveys. I have the survey in front of me, and it's really simple. And I like question 11 of the 12 questions. What would you believe is the single most important item that should be changed? So this is the kind of information you and the team need to have.
And the key thing in there, absolutely, and the key thing in there is it's not just the items that should be changed, but it says in parentheses, added, deleted, or modified.
There you go.
So when we talk about the folks who say, hey, there's nothing in my community being in, well, What would you want to add?
What
in
do
there?
You want? This is your opportunity.
And, and we need to get all this feedback because the plan we sent forward will probably not be the plan we send to the voters. Mm-hmm. But we want to give the community, all of the community, the opportunity to provide input first.
How's your chronology, though, now on this?
So this will remain open till just before our January 8th meeting. There, we have a meeting in December that may make this stay open longer. I personally believe we should keep it open a couple weeks longer, but I'm only one of the nine members on the board. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. The most important thing is we need to get the numbers. We need to get good, solid input because right now there's disagreement amongst the mayors.
Oh, yeah.
And until, as Mayor Murphy, who voted for this to move forward, it was a 5-2 vote to the move forward to collect input. He was very clear that until we hear what the community really wants, mm-hmm. none of us, we can all make our best guess, mm-hmm. but we need to hear it from the community.
I'll put my 2 cents. I think this should be open until January 31st. Why not just close out the whole month? People are busy during the holidays. This gives people who didn't have a chance to get to it during the holidays a chance in January.
And on timelines, it works. We one of the things we voted on at the last board meeting was to extend or to target November of 2025 to go to the ballot. So that put some space between the city's half-cent sales tax proposition and our deadline. What that means is we need to get it to the county between May and July.
Okay, General Ted Maxwell, thank you very much. We'll listen for your daily radio program, not daily, weekly on Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. Thanks, General.
Thank you, Bill.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio. Thanksgiving is 1 week from today, Green Things is ready. They grew 20,000 poinsettias right at their, yeah, I know, General Maxwell with me in studio. That's right, 20. That's they've got to be the biggest grower of poinsettias, certainly in Arizona, maybe in the West, maybe in the country, I don't know. Family owned and operated since 1970, featuring all of your holiday favorites, voted Tucson's best garden center. Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. The 13-acre site is now home to Zocalo Village and all that wonderful merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. Zocalo Village, their website, zocalovillage.com. And greenthingsaz.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management made an executive decision, since I own the radio show, to keep General Maxwell over for another segment. General Maxwell leads the Southern Arizona Leadership Council as president and CEO since 2018. And he is a retired two-star general. He retired in 2018. And we were talking about his role with the RTA Next program because of his representation as Pima County's representative on the seven-member Arizona State Transportation Board. But I want to circle back to the military and the Air National Guard, and there is going to be some, we were talking about the RTA Next and the listening section or sessions that are underway. There will be some listening sessions that the military will be undertaking, because we're going to get some different aircraft out at Davis-Monthan, General.
Absolutely, Bill. And this one's kind of near and dear to my heart, because Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, one, it's a great facility, great location, great leadership. They've been recognized multiple times. They've been recognized multiple times as the base, the number one base in air combat command, mm-hmm, for the service they provide the airmen and their agreement, their work with the community. Back at the Guard unit, we considered F-35s coming to the base, and there was always public input. There's always public hearing, and people went into a panic because they were afraid of the noise. And the F-35 is loud. Don't disagree with that. So this will be an interesting one, because I'm sure there will be people that will oppose this change, but this change is exactly what the community has been asking for. Yes, there's a long, you know, love affair of Tucson and Southern Arizona with the A-10, and we'd love to see it stay, but the fact of the matter is the Air Force has limited funding, limited things, and they have to divest and for modernization of aircraft. One of the best things that could happen for this area, especially for those who believe that there's noise problems from Davis, created by Davis-Monthan. Remember, the base was there long before the city grew there. Yes. But the noise problems, the safety, the planes that are going to be flying out of Davis-Monthan are going to be, on a whole, quieter. There's going to be an increased number of the helicopter activities, uh-huh, but those, again, in general, are quieter. Mm-hmm. It is a mission that's going to, I think, fit the community real well.
All right.
Now, that's not to rule out that at some point Davis-Monthan won't go back to being a fighter base, because the thing that makes Arizona great is our good weather, our range space, and the ability to train.
All right. Joining us now in studio, Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman. Councilman, do your constituents complain about aircraft noise? You get a lot of calls on that?
Not a lot, but we get some. We've got our fair share over the years. I think that there's some, I'd say that the appetite for staving off the transition to the F-35 has kind of run its course. I mean, everybody loves the A-10 because it is a quiet aircraft. It's got the two 780 horsepower turbofans on each side, and it's a fun aircraft. It's one of those aircraft that if it's hit, it still flies. I think you can lose half a wing and it still will stay airborne. and I'm not even kidding about that. It also has an incredible service record. I wasn't in Desert Storm. I'll never claim to do anything I didn't do in the military, but all the guys that I served with were first Desert Storm vets, and they love the Thunderbolts.
And that's an interesting piece to it. You've got two of us now, Bill. We're, of course. You're going to have to keep control of us.
I know.
But the A-10, no aircraft in the Air Force inventory can do the mission like the A-10 could. And the gun itself was a deterrent that especially in environments where it's not direct conflict, there's, you know, and it's a great plane. I think this is a good move for Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. It will continue to have it. People just have to remember that Southern Arizona and Arizona as a whole, for any kind of aviation, and particularly military aviation, is a great place to fly because we're such a large space and beautiful weather and great ranges and a lot to do. But I do think the concern and the banter about the F-35 has died down quite a bit.
Well, the F-35 has like 7 different variants, and the variant we're going to get is going to be able to match the mission of the F-35 quite nicely. I don't know if it's going to be able to slow down to those armored level, ground level speeds that the Thunderbolt did. Probably, I'm sure I'm sure General Maxwell is way more versed on that stuff than I am. But the bottom line is that if the real question comes down to, do we want to keep our base and do we want to continue to have our base be viable and be a big economic driver for our region? And the answer should be emphatically yes. It almost anchors with Raytheon, it almost anchors an entire aerospace and tech sector that we have in Tucson. And it's just way too important to us. Look, there's other cities that lost their bases and that were replaced by different private entities and national and international multinational corporations that came in and replaced those jobs. That right now isn't very conducive for Tucson. Again, as usual, we just don't have the airport. We don't have certain things that exist for us to do that when we're competing with the likes of San Diego and Phoenix and Dallas. So I think our base is a good fit for us. It's also supports some other federal operations, which help us out and help drive us economically. So I don't have any issues with the evolution of this process. I know it's going to come with some headaches. I know people have major concerns about the sound variations of the F-35, but I think some of those can be quelled. I think some of the stuff they're going to do out at the fighter wing out of TIA will probably, that variant of the F-35 might be louder, but there's a lot to unpack here. And this could be a whole show, Bill.
Yeah, we're going to leave military talk for a second and go back to what we were talking about in segment two. And I'm glad you've joined us, Councilman Paul Cunningham, with us about the RTA next. What do you like about the program and what do you don't like? What do you do not like about it, Paul Cunningham?
Well, the only thing I don't like about it is that for me, from a very basic and core value level, I really want to promote incorporation. And indirectly, if you look at the RTA, it's not necessarily helping promote incorporation, but that's okay. I mean, it doesn't mean it's not preventing incorporation either. But that's my one hang up with it. More importantly, though, what I love about it is that, one, it brings the different pieces of the region together. You can actually promote the ideas on localized roads for the unincorporated areas. This would be a good time to consider incorporation. Also, I like how we've, in this latest kind of incantation of it, we've got some flexibility with some pavement modification and upgrade within the program that allows Tucson to take existing thoroughfares and augment them within the mission of the RTA, augment them consistent with the RTA's bylaws and how it was set up. And so I like that piece. I think it's a very responsible way to spend our money. And I think that ultimately, if it ends up being the good deal for Tucson, I would support it, and I've said that many, many times. I had a few hangups. I think there's a couple things we're missing, and this is stuff that we should be working with the state on. The one thing I think we're missing is we really don't have that no stoplight thoroughfare across town. We just don't have it, and It could exist on golf links if we did a couple flyovers, which are not full grade separated interchanges, but they are overpasses.
Mm. Let's hear from General Maxwell. Is that something that could be added?
I think the important thing is with the survey out there right now, Bill, is to get that input put in there. And what you're going to see on the current program, because we're only advertising the pessimistic view, there's only $20 million in that arterial reconstruction element that Councilmember Cunningham just talked about. But I mentioned that we've got a plan already, and the city and everybody's agreed to it so far, pending the input from the community. That says what we do with that money if we achieve the baseline. And the city's taken a lot of risk with this. I will give them credit for that. They've got confidence that our baseline numbers will get met. And guess what? They're going to get the majority of that funding, including up to another $190 million to be put into this arterial reconstruction. Mm. And for people that go, what's arterial reconstruction?
Yes.
That's taking a road that's beyond the ability to maintain back into health. Mm-hmm. And you need to, no kidding, lay new pavement. Mm-hmm. That's what it does. It prevents the cost of a design, prevents the cost because you go curb to curb and you put a whole new road down.
Okay.
And that is something the city of Tucson's been very clear about for the decade. We need more money to fix our roads.
And you've heard me say it on this show multiple times. We are not a city that needs to build new roads. We're a city that needs to replace the roads we got. I mean, that's just who we are in where we are. We're pretty much locked in, surrounded. We're not going to expand much out. I don't see that mountain-to-mountain annexation anymore. I think we're better off with incorporation in Vail, incorporation in Green Valley. I'd love to have joined Sarita. I'd love to close that gap in that Flowing Wells area so it joins into Marana or Aurora Valley. And then I'd love to see Catfoot and Tankaverde Valley become their own thing. I think Tankaverde Valley will be a weird thing where we could probably have it as a kind of like a ranching and equine district for the city. And it would actually be part of the city of Tucson. So we'd get those state share revenue dollars, but it would be more like a contract town. And it would be kind of it would have a symbiotic relationship, possibly the same way we have one with the city of South Tucson. Right.
Okay,
there's some opportunities.
Okay, guys, going to take a break right here. More with General Ted Maxwell and Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
You can now review and comment on the Regional Transportation Authority's draft $2.46 billion Regional Transportation Plan at one of several upcoming RTA Next open houses. The draft 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. It's your plan. Tell us what you think. Learn more and find dates for an upcoming open house near you at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. What a perfect day over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, mid-60s. Going to be up to about 70 on Friday. Perfect weather to get out and do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Tons of outdoor activities. And the indoor activities aren't half bad either, like eating at some really great New Mexican restaurants, where the big question is always, do you prefer green or red? I think I'll go with the green. Paul Cunningham is with me in studio, Tucson City Councilman, along with General Ted Maxwell, CEO and President of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. We're talking the RTA next. We're talking transportation. Let's circle back to you, General, and something Paul brought up and you want to zero in on.
Well, I think what he and Councilmember Cunningham has been a advocate for this for a long time, and that's we need some high capacity, high speed roads that go from one end of town to the other.
Since we don't have a crosstown freeway.
If you know, 20 years ago, if we had proved a single 101 where we could have it, then we wouldn't have all a lot of the problems we're facing now, especially even with this RTA plan.
Right.
Because it's a lot of money to do that. You're going to need state and federal funds to do that. It's going to be a big project, and there is some state responsibility on it as well. But at some point, we've got to consider that. Because when I talk with folks who are big transit and ped and bike advocacy, they say, we got to slow the streets down. You got to slow the streets down. Well, the fact of the matter is you can slow them down speed limit wise as much as you want until we have some high speed capacity get from a large town, 260 some odd, 250 some odd square, you know, until we can get across town quickly. People, when they're in a hurry, are going to speed. No matter how much you say, they're going to slow it down until we can get enforcement. So it's not in this plan right now, something like Paul brought up. It's not in. It's something that needs to stay on RTA's focus. It's something that people need to advocate for at the state level as well. But that drives a lot of our needs that you do see addressed by this RTA next.
Paul?
Well, all traffic is connected. So if you have if you open up a pathway on a nearby area that can get you somewhere faster, the closer roads would, that traffic might thin out, be less congested, be less dangerous for ped, be more friendly for bikes. And so there's opportunities there. People need to see that all traffic is connected, and you do need that space. So for me, I've advocated quite a long time that the McLavio Barraza Parkway, named after my grandmother's really good friend, Mr. Barraza, is actually technically a state thoroughfare. And we don't take a lot of our state thoroughfare money in the city of Tucson because the parkway is kind of always overlooked. And so a lot of that money goes to Phoenix. If we were put some skin in the game with RTA, the region would. We could also probably partner with the Air Force. And along Golf Links, you could fly over Craycroft and Swan, and then maybe have some type of roundabout or some type of traffic properly traffic design entrance at Wilmot, and you could basically go from Wilmot to downtown at Broadway and Park under no stoplights. Zero. And that would make, I think there's a lot of people who,
that sounds good, General, but who's going to pay for that?
Well,
okay, good.
I think there's opportunity between, as I said, between the federal government, between the Air Force, between the state and the RTA, and actually the city, because it's mostly us, that there you could cobble together something like that in a bond, separate, because each of those authorities have bond issuing authority. So there's an opportunity to do that, and I think you'd have an absolutely reduced congestion on 22nd, but more importantly, you'd also probably free up Broadway a little bit. And that would make it really excellent for mixed modal use up and down Broadway.
And this is why, Bill, regionalism is so important. Mm-hmm. This is why the RTA is important. We need a regional approach because it's going to cross possibly jurisdictions, especially if you see any incorporation out on the east side. And the fact of the matter is we're all impacted by it. You know, people like to look at it in a little segment. Yes, we can probably lower ped deaths and other stuff just by trying to slow everybody down and mitigate it. But for a community to thrive, and we're not a small community, we're 1.1 million, a large space of land, you have to have options for everybody. And to what Paul was just saying is the more we can take some of the folks who need to get somewhere in a hurry off the other roads, the safer they become.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long-term fix, Bill.
Are we the largest city in the United States without a actual freeway that just relies on an interstate coming through them?
We are, Bill, and as a matter of fact, we're the largest city in the United States that does not have a bypass for I-10.
Is that right?
Easily.
I have not heard that. I always learn something every day. That's why I do this radio program.
I'm never going to support a bypass for I-10. I'm on the record on that. That is spending good money after bad. We need to widen I-10 where it is. That we lose commerce, and it's horrible for our desert. That's what makes Tucson great. I don't want to get into it with Ted right now.
No, we won't. But what I will tell you is, if you look even at I-11, I understand the concern of going through the Opera Valley. That's fine. We can talk about where else it should go. But the idea that we're going to double deck or we're going to widen I-10 to go through downtown is physically impossible. If you want to talk about taking splitting Tucson into a west side of the freeway and a east side of the freeway, you're in trouble.
All right, then send them down Sunrise.
Hey, if we expand Sunrise to be a high-speed highway, you could do that. But that doesn't float either. I'm good with that.
Hmm.
And this is why this is a long-term discussion.
I was being a little cynical there.
I know you were. In RTA Next, what we're doing now, the most important thing is it's a regional approach. And the real most important thing is it brings money that does not exist anywhere else in the transportation system into those regional concepts. And we need to keep that going for another 20 years.
And realistically, General, the bypass, we're talking how many years? Generations?
By that time, if Council Member Cunningham's not Mayor Cunningham, I don't know. I won't be around to see it. But we do need people that are thinking with that concept long-term. And you can make it so it doesn't impact downtown Tucson. But mm-hmm. right now, we rely on all of our arterial roads, which are getting crowded and have speeding issues. Those are the only way you can get across a large community.
Well, I think there's other pieces to it. I think there's pieces when you connect the road down the highway down in Nogales. I think there's multiple different opportunities to look at.
Absolutely.
But again, if we're going to build something west of I-10, we've got to be really careful about protecting the Tucson Mountains and the ecosystem we have out there. That's also where we actually collect and store a whole ton of water. So we need to be pretty smart about that. I just didn't like that they came to us and said, yeah, we're just going to make the place that brings everybody to your city 25 miles away, and they're just going to go around you. That's not good for Tucson, and I don't think any good business person would say it would be.
There's absolutely that. There's a lot of truth to that, and there's a lot of options that I hope the city will get behind.
Okay, we're going to have to wrap it up, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Paul Cunningham, good to see you. Thank you, Councilman, for coming in.
Sorry for being tardy.
Oh, no. We've picked up like we didn't miss a beat. General Maxwell, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, on behalf of the General and Councilman Paul Cunningham and Tom on the other side of the glass, Bill here wishing everybody well.